Now, very often, the reason for an effect size is to answer the question, yeah, but is the effect big enough to care about? And now that we have this effect size estimate, we could either apply cutoffs and guidelines to it, or we can do a significance test. Which of those you're going to do depends on your research area. But if we wanted to do a significant test, we could go through the process of calculating a significance test. Now, here's the thing. The significance test is actually going to be of the weighted effect size, but it is also testing the R. The significance test of the two is the same. This one's easier to do, gives you the same answer as the other one. But keep in mind that we are testing the weighted effect size after its transformation to get a test of the retransformed Z, or R. And so we come down here. We're going to make this thing. This is the standard error, the mean effect size. We click on this cell. We put in this formula, which is the square root of 1 over the sum of the weights. And we get our error term. So now we have an estimate and a standard error, just the stuff that we need. And so we compute a z-score. Now the great thing about z-scores is you don't really need to do anything with p-values, because a z-value of 1.96 corresponds with a p of 0.05. So any effects or any z-value bigger than 1.96 or smaller than negative 1.96 is significant. It's what, 2.51 for a 0.01, whatever. So now we have an effect size and a test. SPSS will do calculations of p-values for a whole wide range of summary statistics, including Z. And so this is what you type in. The only thing that you change is the cell reference. Okay? So that gives you a p-value. Now we have an effect size estimate of 0.19, and we know that if the null is true, we would get an effect size that big by chance, right around 7 times out of 1,000. So we are likely to reject the null and conclude that the effect size in this population is larger than 0. Notice I didn't say different than 0, larger than 0. Effect sizes have directions. Some people doing meta-analyses prefer confidence intervals to effect sizes. You and I know that one end of a confidence interval always corresponds to a significance test, but the other end has additional information, and the size of the confidence interval gives us some information, especially if we have a lot of them. And so it's entirely reasonable to ask for a confidence interval. And so we can calculate the lower bound and the upper bound using this formula. The whole formula stays the same. What we plug in is the cell reference and the cell reference. And so we've got the effect size, and we have the variability. And that gives us, we've got the effect size, we've got the variability, plus or minus 1.96. That gives us our confidence interval. Notice, if you will, the confidence interval does not overlap 0. Because the confidence interval does not overlap 0, we would say that it's not reasonable to assume that this is 0, because the estimate range of it is all above 0. So that's how to calculate a fixed effects weighted effect size aggregate, how to do a Z test of it, and how to do confidence intervals. Then we could convert the effect size boundaries to R boundaries by using the same Fisher's inverse transformation. So what we would present from these results would be this effect size, because it's the R. This confidence interval, because it's R. This Z value and the P value that's just over there. Because this Z test is the test for both the transformed and the re-untransformed. So that's our effect size, that's our confidence interval, that's our Z value, P value is right about there.